Yo, what's up, Real Madrid podcast listeners? It's Mushtaq and Hassan. And for the first time, we're in the same time zone, the same country, the same city, but we're still doing this over Skype, which is super weird. But apparently Birmingham is a bit bigger than I thought it was. We weren't able to meet up, but we'll try and link up in London and maybe do something on live because I think that'd be cool. But anyway, Real Madrid, match day two, week two, versus Valladolid at home at the Bernabeu. It's a 1-1 draw. Not the best result. I think it could have been better, but I feel like there's a lot to dissect about this game. So
yeah, there was a bit of everything, I think, considering it was a 1-1 scoreline.
It's a bit messy because you had no goals for 80 minutes and then both goals coming in the last 10 minutes. Madrid scoring first, which is great. A brilliant goal from Karim Benzema. Ball came in from the flank. I don't know how he just cushioned that thing out of the air. A nice turn, you know, half volley on the dime is just like perfect. Right past the keeper. Had no chance whatsoever. But then, what is it, 6 minutes later, you could kind of feel it coming, that collapse. I don't understand why Madrid still played with, you know, Marcelo and Dani Carvajal, like way high up the flanks with less than 5 minutes to go in the match. You only have a 1-goal lead. It's not like it was the greatest performance from Real Madrid. But then you leave yourself susceptible, and everyone's trying to pin this on Toni Kroos, but it's a bit harsh to pin that one thing on him.
Yeah, it's stupid, if I'm honest, because it's not really his fault either. Okay, I know he gave up the ball, but Carvajal being completely out of position for what was like the 20th time in the game doesn't help either, when it just leaves Guardiola just to skip in and nutmeg the keeper. But like, generally speaking, outside of the giving up the ball, Kroos had a really good game. I'm pretty sure he completed 5 key passes or something along those lines. Had the most touches of anybody, completing nearly 98% of his passes, and he had the most passes on the team as well. So yeah, okay, one sort of topsy-turvy moment, but generally speaking, I wouldn't slag him off at all.
Yeah, it was, like you said, and like a complete, maybe not a masterclass, but definitely a top-notch performance from Toni Kroos. He was, again, one of those other players that we saw last season who didn't have the greatest season. And like I said, it's not like a lot of them did either, but definitely looks like he's, you know, back to what we know he can be and the kind of caliber player that he is, high-caliber player. So it's definitely nice signs to see from him. But yeah, if you're pinning that mistake on him, honestly, shut up. Like, go get a life.
Yeah, agreed.
It's ridiculous. You know, those stats that you mentioned, to have those kind of stats, make one mistake, it's a defender's responsibility. So it's a bit harsh from fans, but you know what? The goal conceded resulted in getting just 1 point. It's not the way that Real Madrid wanted to open up this season at home. Of course, it's the first home game, home game season. Oh my God, what am I trying to say?
Game of the season.
Yes, home game of the season. God damn. See what happens when you're in England? You forget how to speak English. But what else do you think went wrong? Because I feel like so much went right for Real Madrid, but at the same time, it was just, it's so cliche to just say like final piece was missing, but it really was just final piece was missing.
Yeah, I mean, they started off really well, you know, attack was really dynamic. James playing at the 10, which really helped kind of open up options for the rest of the forwards. Isco played not too badly as well, obviously lost the ball a lot, but also had a fair few key passes and a fair few dribbles completed. But as soon as those two guys were pulled off the field, it kind of all just fell apart when we switched into the 4-4-2. They sort of then resulted to just crossing and hoping for it. I mean, Luka Jovic came on and hit the bar pretty much straight away.
30 seconds.
Which was, yeah, literally 3 seconds into coming on, he hits the bar straight away with what was actually a really good header. For a guy that's only 6 foot, he's so good at just making himself seem huge. But yeah, other than that, he was quite sort of starved of chances up top. There wasn't really creating much. The crosses coming in were quite mediocre because the crossing in today's game was generally not that great. I mean, Bale put in a couple which are decent, and I think he had the most crosses of anyone on the team. But everyone else was bang average. I mean, Vinicius was just He had an average game from start to finish in all facets, really. Marcelo started well, kind of teetered off gradually. Carvajal was just pure ass. I'm not even going to try and be nice about it. He was the weakest link in the side and has been for at least 2 years now. I thought midfield generally was fine. I mean, Casemiro held position well. He was pretty dominating. I think he had either the highest or second highest amount of tackles. Ramos and Varane were largely decent. Courtois was also, you know, decent for most of the game, bar obviously conceding the goal, which wasn't really his fault. Yeah, okay, he got nutmegged, but not. Yeah, nothing you can do in that position. At the end of the day, he shouldn't have been left exposed like that. But the performance generally, you know, especially the first half, was fine. I didn't have much to complain about in the first half. Second half, through the switch to 4-4-2, it kind of just stagnated. But I think, obviously, with the introductions of Eden Hazard still to happen, I think it should sort of iron itself out. In the day, the main thing is the team obviously didn't lose, which was, I'd say, is progress compared to like last season when they conceded and then just fall apart and conceded another two or three.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was all that bad. Yeah, okay, it's not the most ideal result, but it's only 2 points dropped as opposed to all three. Like, imagine being like how Barcelona drops all 3 points to Bilbao. So it could be worse. That's the thing people need to remember. It could have been worse.
I think a bright spot for me in this match was definitely James Rodriguez coming back. The one thing that I wish was different, though, is I wish he had a cooler number, like 16.
Yeah, 16 sucks, man. It's such a trash number.
Like, which footballer can you think of that ever donned 16 and was a tank? Like, I
nobody.
Can't. Yeah, nobody.
Nobody.
So if the front office can find a way to get him a cooler number, that'd be much appreciated. In terms of his play, though, it felt like a new signing. And I know it sounds odd to say because he hasn't been here for 2 years, but it's just so nice seeing him. It was such a breath of fresh air. He's so different. It's amazing to me that he was gone for 2 years. The squad has changed, you know, in some capacity. It's not necessarily the biggest, it's not an overhaul or a revolution, but it has changed in some capacity. But he was still able to come in second game of the season and make such a strong impact with all these different players. Like, that to me was just so nice to see. And it really just shows how much of a quality, how much of a class player James is. Like, he's just that good. Like, his quick interplay, like, that's what I love seeing. I guess it is biased because that's the kind of football I enjoy watching the most. But he's just so top-notch. And I think one thing that'll be kind of funny in a sense, at least this is just my prediction for now, in these two games we've watched, 180 minutes of football, is the two guys that were supposedly not supposed to be staying with Real Madrid this season, I think are going to be two of the most important, or two amongst the most important players for Real Madrid this season. In an effort to try and win trophies and win titles and make a strong push. And you made a point earlier about, you know, it's great that we didn't lose and we still took a point. But I think that mentality is what scares me, is that I just hope the players don't fall into that trap. And I'm not saying they're not elite players and, you know, they'll just go with the average or whatever second best. But it's those small games, it's these small matches that will determine in March and April the difference between us being a point and 2 points ahead of Barcelona as opposed to the other way around. And that is just what, it kind of trips me out and worries me a little.
Yeah, it's obviously not the most ideal result, as I said, but given how Barcelona had quite a sticky start to the season, Messi also still not fit and won't play tomorrow.
Yeah, he will not play
quite
against
a tricky game against Real Betis. I think Barcelona are not going to be as strong this season. So, in seasons gone by, I think that would have been a massive sort of loss. But
yeah,
I mean, Valladolid aren't—they're not a shabby side. Like, I think a lot of people are forgetting they're not the worst side in the world. They're actually quite good. They were renowned last year for being, you know, defensively quite sturdy and quite hard to crack. So sort of, I'm not surprised they were such a tricky side to have come up against. So they're obviously being at home, we probably should be being at home, but again, it's never an easy game. And
yeah,
we saw last season they were quite a tricky side, even at home in that game. We had to rely on luck to get through. I mean, Vinicius scored a deflected goal last season against them.
If I'm not mistaken, though, this is Valladolid's first ever win against Real Madrid in La Liga competition. Because prior to today's match, they were 9-1-0, and it's now 9-1-1. So, I mean, yeah, it's, history is obviously has happened over a long period of time, but kind of sucks to have to swallow that pill at this stage. But it's whatever, you move on, you move forward, hopefully. Like you said, once Eden Hazard comes back and he's into the flow of this team. Of course, James Rodriguez came off in the 56th minute. A lot of people on Twitter were furious about it. But just a call to everyone on Twitter, please stop being so reactionary. I'm not saying perfect, and I've never been reactionary. But if you just waited an extra hour or so, you would have seen what Zinedine Zidane said in the post-match pressers, that he felt a little bit of discomfort. He's, of course, not 100%. And, I mean, you know I'm so glass half full, but him saying he's not at 100% is like, whoa, this kid isn't at 100% yet after that performance. It wasn't the greatest. It wasn't his World Cup performance, but he's just such a spark in midfield. And all that, you and I talked about this a lot, actually, over the years that we've kind of known one another, is the ability or maybe lack thereof and arguments that take place on Twitter about whether Isco and James can exist or coexist rather on the pitch at the same time. I think today was a great example of that happening. The one mistake, though, like you said earlier, was once the two of them came off, you still had that 4-4-2. We made substitutions, but I feel like the positioning and the tactics of those substitutions they weren't cohesive. Like, there were cool substitutions. Made sense. Luka Jovic, sure. Lucas Vazquez is obviously always going to be a last-ditch effort for Zidane. That's one of his adopted children, besides Karim Benzema. But,
literally.
I feel like if the tactics and the formation on the pitch changed a little bit, then it would have been more, like, it would have made more sense. And I think the team would have flowed a bit better. But just as you said, things started to feel a little off once those two guys left. But, I mean, it's still early days. It's match day 2 of 38. Like, we're only a 19th into the season or whatever, or even less than a 9th. My math is so horrible. We're very early stages, so there's still a lot to happen.
Yeah, at the end of the day, yeah, as you said, it's literally second game of the season. So, people obviously know there's 36 games to go yet. There's a long way to go. It's a long, long way to go. Obviously, players are still coming back in. Obviously, Hazard, as I said earlier, still yet to affect the team and make his statement on the side. I mean, Luka Modric could still turn his form around for all we know as well. There's still things to look forward to. Obviously, the whole Neymar situation still playing out, whether he comes or whether he doesn't, that's also interesting.
I mean, there's people in the summer we haven't seen yet play, like Mendy or Militao.
Yeah, exactly. We haven't seen any of those guys yet, and they've still got to, feature in the side. Militao looked incredibly good during every game he played in preseason. I don't think there was any time I was sat there like, yeah, that was a bit iffy. He was just impressive throughout, constantly.
Go ahead. Finish your point.
There's that. Still to happen. Mendy as well, an exciting player in Liga and last season. I think he was he had the most dribbles of any defender in the entire league last season. So a guy that's that good going forward, but he's also very good going backwards as well. Like, you've just got all these exciting players yet to even touch the turf.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you, a lot of people on Twitter again, I feel like it's such a cool reference point to see what fans are saying, but because there was that 4-4-2, some people are calling for a Benzema Jovic like top two, as opposed to the way it kind of played out with Bale. Do you think that would be something Zidane would actually test out or explore, or do you not think those two could be together at the same time?
No, I think they could be together. Obviously, you've got to try these kind of things out in the right kind of game. So in a game like today's, where, Valladolid sit in a very low block and try and sort of just completely cut off their final third of the field, they're just packing bodies in there everywhere. It's not going to work playing 4-4-2 because you need the space to get the ball in, and you need the space in the box to put it away, which is not going to be something you come across very easily. So in games like that, I don't think in teams that are a bit more expansive. So I think against Celta it would have worked quite well. You know, against sides like Valencia, Sevilla, where they're a bit more expansive and open, and there's space to sort of exploit in that sense. Yeah, I don't see why not, because obviously Benzema is capable of creating and scoring at the same time. And Jovic is a guy that thrives off of crosses into the box. He's just phenomenally good at finding those half spaces in between defenders, similar to what Ronaldo was for us for, you know, seasons on seasons. So in a 4-4-2, where that's obviously a very cross-heavy formation, I think we fired some like 32 crosses today. If in a game like that, that Jovic would thrive if he started off from the get-go, because I mean, we saw as soon as he came on, you know, a cross came in, he hit the bar. And then after that, the crosses just like faltered off in terms of their quality. So if the service is consistent and good, and that's something that Eden Hazard will definitely bring in, because he's phenomenal at creating chances, you'll see players like Jovic and especially Benzema as well just absolutely thrive in that 4-4-2.
Just moving on to some of the other guys who are part of Real Madrid but are kind of on loan right now, because I think we've kind of wrapped up everything from this game. Madrid's next fixture in La Liga will be January 9th. So I just said January 9th. Sorry, September 1st. Wow, I read that so wrong. Sorry, it'll be September 1st. So next Sunday against Villarreal, they'll be playing at the El Madrigal. So that'll be a dope game. Everything for me is a dope game anyway. I'm excited to see what lineup Zidane's going to play, especially now that he's like seen James get out there. He's seen some of the other guys. He's made some pairings that a lot of people thought were really contentious before. I'm excited for all the Isco versus James beef that's going to take place on Twitter. So that'll be exciting. But your boy, your fave, as we all know, Dani Ceballos. First game, incredible. 2 assists. Dropped an absolute Spanish masterclass. It was wicked. And then today, yikes, not the greatest. Have you? You've been keeping
a bad performance.
What do you think of
him
so far?
I was happy with this result against Burnley, but again, like Arsenal was just in ridiculously bad like period against against Liverpool. They just got picked apart for an absolute joke. So like in that kind of scenario, it's not a lot you can do. And he can't clearly do it all by himself. I mean, they're pretty cohesive as a unit when they played against Burnley. But they'd need some sort of defensive figure in there as well, because obviously you can't just play all offensive and not expect to get picked apart. So it's one of those, really. I mean, he's still obviously adapting to the league. I mean, he's only obviously now played 2-3 games, one being a full 90 minutes. I'm not sure if he got the full 90 today, because I actually missed that game, sadly. But yeah, it was definitely a hit and miss performance for him.
In other news, Sergio Reguilón goes off with a head injury with Sevilla. Right now, they sit top of the table. Of course, there's this match week hasn't finished, but I mean, it's kind of nice to see that his team is doing well. But yeah, we have a couple questions on Twitter, which we'll answer before we wrap this up. They're all silly questions, so I hope you guys find this somewhat entertaining rather. _RMTap says, what will get cleaned if you put SpongeBob inside a washing machine? So one, I like the fact that this question rhymes. This thing is really cool. Also, two, yeah. I don't know. It's like that question. Have you heard, like, if you clean a vacuum, are you now the vacuum cleaner? Crazy thought.
Yeah, I've heard of a few of these. It's like, if you're given something galaxy to watch over, does that technically make you a guardian of the galaxy?
Or, like, is water wet? Do you think water is wet?
I mean, it feels wet.
It's just such a, like, a weird thing. Like, do you think other water molecules think, like, the other, like, water particles are wet? Or are they just, like, whatever?
I don't know. This is too advanced for me to be discussing right now.
Yeah, that's true. Because you're not that smart anyway.
But my answer for Tapan here is Mr. Krabs.
Okay. SK, Marcelo Hollick. I know this person. I feel like I know this person. Do I know this person?
Of course you know this person.
Okay, thank you. I was just like, I'm pretty sure I know this person. Anyway, Marcelo Hollick asked, how much will it cost to get a brain for Danny Carvajal? Hassan answered on Twitter, $1 million. I don't think it'll cost $1 million because it's Spain and they use euros. But yeah, that's just my answer. I don't know, man. Stop hating, y'all. Like, he made an error. Okay, he hasn't been the greatest, but so have a lot. Like, a lot of other people haven't on this team. People are still getting into stride. I'm too much of an optimist to answer this question, but I think he'll figure it out. And at the end of the day, if he doesn't, there's other options. So I'm not too concerned. He'll be fine. Well,
my answer is it'll cost you precisely one Achraf Hakimi.
There you go. Who will not return this season because he's having a splendid time with Borussia Dortmund. But let me tell you, when that kid comes back, oh baby, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a fun time.
Yeah, he'll be great. Reguilon will be great when he comes back. His first game for Sevilla was absolutely fantastic. So I'm looking, very much looking forward to him coming back.
Oh, one last thing before we wrap up. Last year, my goal prediction, Karim Benzema, 30, I said. He hit the mark, correct?
Yes, he did. I think spot on as well, 30.
All right. It's the second game. Maybe I should have made it a bit earlier, but I'm going for 30 again. 2 goals in 2 games. So it's pretty good start.
I think that's realistic this season. Last season, I was like, you're on crack.
Yeah.
But this season, he's definitely probably going to smash in 30 or very close to, especially when you team up with Eden Hazard, who creates chances for fun.
It's going to be wicked, guys. Stay optimistic. I'm telling you, this season is going to be super, super exciting to watch. Anyways, that's it for Hassan and I. If you got more questions that you want to ask, one of us finally has access to our Twitter account. And if there's something you want Hassan to answer, just add him and I'll tweet it out or whatever. We'll figure out how to do it. Or you could just tweet it from your own account.
Yeah.
But yeah, let us know. We'll put up a whole bunch of post-match content. I think the player ratings are up. We did a post-match little snapshot so you could see a little bit there of how the game went down. And also 3 takeaways from that game, which I think, Hassan, you just did or you're doing right now, something of the sort.
That's gone out, and it's going to go out in a few hours on the schedule, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I would like to write something, but my Mac is at 15%, and my charger doesn't work here, so sucks to suck.
Oh, damn.
On the other side of the world. So I'm going to have to wait till I get back to London and use my uncle's charger. But it's all good. So, sorry about the ending of this podcast. For some reason, we recorded on Skype and it just stopped recording. At the end of it, though, we just closed out and wanted to thank all of you for your support and listening to the podcast as always and dropping your questions. Really appreciate the community that's being built here. Hassan and I are going to try and get back and do a pre-match podcast as well as a post-match podcast rather than just the latter. Find it's a bit more fun to kind of build up the an atmosphere, I guess, an online atmosphere about the game. Anyway, if you do have questions, please feel free to add us at TheRealChampsFS. My Twitter is at MNizamdin7, and of course, Hassan's is at TheHaskarim. But yeah, ask us questions, DM us if you prefer. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed Match Day 2, and enjoyed the rest of the games in La Liga for this week, and we'll catch you next week for Match Day 3. Peace out, and as always, Hala Madrid.